This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Non-stop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
So could the election results change in the House of Representatives? Could Congress reject the outcome of the election? It turns out the answer is yes. And even I, as astute as I am with the knowledge of everything, even I didn't realize this. I'll share with you exactly what I'm talking about. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a story from Politico. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 is the number. And on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. But before I get to that, let's say good morning to Dawn. Checking, get some headlines. Good morning, Dawn.
And good morning, Zeoli Show News headlines. We are at 38 degrees right now. And yes, good morning. This is Tuesday, December 2nd. Republican lawmakers in Pennsylvania say after an extreme amount of irregularities, they want to repeal a 2019 law that expanded mail-in voting. This is the first of many election-related bills expected. So Republican leaders in Pennsylvania say their inquest into voting irregularities will continue through 2021. And lawmakers closed the door on what many call a tumultuous legislative session this week, marred by an escalating power struggle, of course, between Governor Tom Wolf and GOP leaders who control the legislature. So over everything from natural gas regulations to abortion restrictions to how to best regulate the economy during a pandemic. So that will tee us up for 2021. So not a lot of friendship there. And we also have a story that Phil Abundance, the area's largest hunger relief group, announcing yesterday they lost nearly $1 million in a cyber attack. This is under a major investigation now, but it appears that the organization was victimized by thieves who infiltrated their computer systems, and it was some kind of a phishing scam. So warnings from officials never to click on something if it looks suspicious, and that's what happened here. It's much like that Fancy Bear scam that Zeoli has talked a lot about. So the NBC 10 First Alert forecast, we had some flurries this morning across our region, but the high will only be 47 degrees. It'll never feel like 47. Wind chills will make it feel like we're still in the 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. We will warm up to 52 degrees. I'm Dawn. We are always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. Yesterday, Senator Ted Cruz urged the United States Supreme Court to hear an emergency appeal on the Pennsylvania election challenge. Why is this significant? Significant because he could be the senator. Here's what I'm talking about. Back in 2017, the Democrats tried to change the outcome of the Electoral College. You're going to hear in this little clip here, this is what happened. Actually, ironically enough, Joe Biden was the one at the gavel as the vice president of the United States in his capacity as the president of the United States Senate at the time. House Democrats tried to challenge Trump's Electoral College victory. Cut number 7.
Is the objection in writing and signed not only by the member of the House of Representatives, but also by a senator?
Mr. President, the objection is in writing, signed by a member of the House of Representatives, but not yet by a member of the United States
Senate. In that case, the objection cannot be entertained.
I wish to ask, is there one United States senator who will join me in this letter of objection?
There is no debate. There is no debate.
Mr. President, I object to the votes from the state of Wisconsin, which were not should not be legally certified.
No debate. Does the gentlelady, does she please come to order?
A written document with my signature on it, seeking a senator, but the Russian
intrusion.
I have an objection because 10 of the 29 electoral votes cast by Florida were cast by electors not lawfully certified.
The debate is out of order.
It is in writing, Mr. President.
Is it signed by a senator?
Not as of yet, Mr. President.
In that case, the objection cannot be entertained.
It is signed by a member of the House, but not yet by a member of the Senate.
Well, it is over.
At that point, Joe Biden, ironically enough, slammed the gavel and said it's over and Donald Trump was the winner of the election. What I didn't realize, I mean, I knew it, but I just hadn't really thought about it, is that there's a law from the 1800s where the House has to certify the results of the Electoral College. So yesterday I read this article in Politico, how Trump's Hill allies could take one last shot to overturn the election. It's deeply unlikely to succeed. But some House Republicans are weighing an effort to challenge Biden's Electoral College win. It's by Kyle Chaney and Melanie Zanona. Kyle Chaney is not a right-wing guy. This is not Breitbart. This isn't, you know, this is Politico. And in the article, what they write about is how after the Electoral College votes on December 14th, it's up to Congress to certify the results a few weeks later. Federal law gives individual members of the House and the Senate the power to challenge the results from the floor. It is a rarely used mechanism meant to be the last of all last resorts to safeguard an election. What you heard in that clip, by the way, breaking from the article for a second, what you heard in that clip was Representative Maxine Waters and also Representative Sheila Jackson Lee contesting the election, also a Democrat from Florida contesting the election as well. None of them had a senator joining in their challenge, and so it died. But several House Republican lawmakers and aides now tell Politico they're considering this option to help Trump in his quest. Nothing is off the table, said Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida. This time, Vice President Mike Pence will be in the chair for any potential challenge because he is the vice president, so he would be in his role as the president of the United States Senate at that point. So this is how this works. An obscure 1887 law called the Electoral Count Act and several subsequent updates spells out the process, setting January 6th after a presidential election as the official certification date and outlining vague, complicated procedures. On that day, the House and the Senate will meet in a joint session at 1 p.m., just 3 days after a newly constituted Congress is sworn in. One of their first orders of business is to pass judgment on the Electoral College vote. That same federal law also gives a tiny number of lawmakers enormous power to challenge the results. If a single House member and a single senator join forces, they can object to the entire slate of presidential electors. They must do so in writing and provide an explanation, though there are no guidelines on how detailed it must be. If they do, the House and the Senate must retreat to their chambers and debate the outcome for up to 2 hours before voting on the matter. Each state's electors are certified separately, meaning lawmakers bent on challenging the results have multiple chances to force lengthy delays. Let me explain what that means, by the way. Since we have 50 states in the country, obviously. We're gonna be deciding on the 50 states and the electoral count in those states one by one by one. You could theoretically have challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. And by the way, did you even know about this? Because this is kind of crazy, right? But the Democrats tried this in 2017. They just were unsuccessful. They didn't have a senator join them. But now I wonder, would the Republicans have a senator join them? Senator Ted Cruz, breaking from the Politico article for a second to go to a statement from Senator Cruz. Yesterday he said, an emergency appeal was filed in the United States Supreme Court challenging the election results in Pennsylvania. This appeal raises serious legal issues, and I believe the Supreme Court should hear the case on an expedited basis. The Pennsylvania Constitution requires in-person voting, except in narrow and defined circumstances. Late last year, the Pennsylvania legislature passed a law that purported to allow universal mail-in voting, notwithstanding the Pennsylvania Constitution's express prohibition. And he goes on about the illegality compounded by a partisan Democrat Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, which has issued multiple decisions that reflected political and ideological biases. Just over a month ago, Justice Alito, along with Justice Thomas and Justice Gorsuch, wrote correctly, I believe, concerning the Pennsylvania court's previous decision to count ballots received after Election Day. They wrote, quote, there is a strong likelihood that the state Supreme Court decision violated the federal Constitution. In the current appeal, Senator Cruz says, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court dismissed the claim based on a legal doctrine, which essentially means the plaintiffs waited too long to bring the challenge. And he goes on, and he writes now that 39% of Americans believe the election was rigged. That is not healthy for our democracy. The bitter division and acrimony we see across the nation needs resolution, and I believe the U.S. Supreme Court has a responsibility to the American people to ensure that we are following the law and following the Constitution. Hearing this case now on an emergency expedited basis would be an important step in helping to rebuild confidence and the integrity of our democratic system. That's Senator Ted Cruz in his statement urging the United States Supreme Court to hear the emergency appeal on the Pennsylvania election challenge. Now, the Supreme Court doesn't have to listen to a U.S. senator. But back to this Politico article, which I opened the show with, I opened this hour nonstop talk with. And again, this is an article from Politico, how Trump's Hill allies could essentially now potentially undo the election results in the House. It's a long shot. But the lawmakers have enormous power. So now, what would happen then if this were to occur? Judicial Watch, which is a pro-Trump legal group, you've heard of Judicial Watch, they put out a statement saying, ask your senators and congressmen if they will object to any Electoral College certification of Joe Biden on January 6th. And they're running a campaign now to get people to, much like how, if you remember in 2016, after the election, there was this PSA put out by Martin Sheen and a bunch of other celebrities imploring the electors to please choose anyone else. Anyone. Remember, that I played this for you in the past. You know, I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm not asking you, but please elect anybody else. And they quoted the Federalist Papers. They quoted Alexander Hamilton. Well, pro-Trump groups are kind of doing the same thing, only they're not asking the electors to change their mind. They're asking senators and congressmen to object to the Electoral College certification of Joe Biden on January 6th. By the way, you're not going to hear this on any other show. You'll hear about it tomorrow. But, you know, you're going to hear about it from me today. Everybody will talk about it tomorrow, but that's okay. Now, he may not have much trouble convincing House members to agree, they write. In addition to Matt Gaetz, several incoming GOP lawmakers like Georgia Congresswoman-elect Marjorie Taylor Greene have adopted the president's harshest and freshest rhetoric about the prevalence of fraud in the 2020 contest. And, of course, Pennsylvania Representative Mike Kelly is a plaintiff on a lawsuit which was recently tossed by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court arguing Pennsylvania's entire mail-in voting system was unconstitutional. On Friday, a group of Republican state legislators in Pennsylvania. By the way, isn't it fascinating that we're at the epicenter of this? It really is amazing. This is history, and we're at the epicenter of it again. On Friday, a group of Republican state legislators in Pennsylvania filed a resolution declaring the results of their state's election in dispute and urging Congress to consider Biden's electors in Pennsylvania to be considered disputed as well. Congressman Kelly has not indicated whether he might carry their fight into the Capitol. Other Trump allies have explicitly left the door open to challenging the results. GOP Representative Warren Davidson of Ohio, a top member of the Conservative Freedom Caucus, said it's seriously being considered by some members and they're studying up on it. Other GOP lawmakers who might be friendly to the idea include Arizona Representative Paul Gozer, Andy Biggs, David Schweikert. Now, why does that matter, too? Because the question also comes down to, what if a state, an individual state, objects to their election results? There have been some issues raised about the integrity of some of our election systems within the state, Congressman Biggs said in a statement. Let's leave no stone unturned. And they go on about how there's a number of Republicans in the House. But then the question, of course, is, can they get a senator? Quote from the Politico article. There's a reason Democrats fell short of the more robust challenges to their 2000 and 2016 losses, the Senate. Because, by the way, I should also mention to you, they tried this in the year 2000 as well. In 2001, after George W. Bush was declared the winner in the Electoral College, when the Congress met in January of 2001, their first order of business, of course, to certify the election results, they tried a floor challenge as well, the Democrats did, but they were unsuccessful. In both years, a clutch of progressive lawmakers lodged challenges to the Electoral College count and pleaded with their Senate allies to join them, but both times, no senator would sign on. And then you heard that clip from Maxine Waters. Is there not one United States senator who will join me? Now the question, of course, is, would somebody like Ted Cruz join? Would Senator Rand Paul join? Would somebody who has ambitions to capture the MAGA vote join with the same Matt Gaetz of Florida, who stands up and says, I'm challenging the results of the Electoral College? I can almost picture this happening in my mind. You know what I mean? I can almost see how this plays on TV. Somebody is going to challenge these election results, just like the Democrats did in 2017. But now the question is, will a senator join in? If they don't, it's over, and Joe Biden's president. If they do, now it gets really, really interesting. By the way, this is an hour of nonstop talk, unprecedented in Morning Drive radio, or any radio for that matter, by the way. And it's brought to you by amazing sponsors like Amstar Medical Transportation. I know you're hanging on. You're dying to hear more about this, and I don't blame you. But I want to remind you that Amstar is going to help you or your loved ones get to those medical appointments on time and safely. Tony, along with his sister Marion, her husband Alan, are the owners and great partners of the program. They're going to get you or your loved ones to medical appointments, non-emergency hospital procedures, or even family events. Family-owned business, you can tell by how much they care. The entire staff is respectful, and they provide excellent, compassionate service. They're a true door-through-door service provider. They ensure the patient is dressed for the weather. They help them out of the house. They secure them safely in the vehicle, help them check into their appointment, and stay with them if needed. Amstar Medical's vehicles are always incredibly clean and well-maintained, and their experience at transporting children with special needs. Here's the best part. Amstar Medical Transportation. They have the best rates in the area, and they're really good personal friends of mine, so they're going to make sure that you are taken care of. They offer discounts to veterans, first responders, and, of course, to you as part of my audience, AmstarMedicalTransport.com, AmstarMedicalTransport.com.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. This is The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Now, of course, as I return to the political article about how the House of Representatives could theoretically disrupt the election in January of 2017 or 2021, and this is not hypothetical. If you're just joining me, it's an 1887 law on the books that requires the Congress to certify the results of the Electoral College. Now, Senator Mitch McConnell may not like the idea. You know, senators, you always like to be more regal and dignified, and they may not want to get into the muck of a House challenge. If Trump does convince any senators to join the increasingly likely House challenges, even Politico acknowledges this is going to happen in January, it would look similar to 2005 when then-Senator Barbara Boxer of California joined Representative Stephanie Tubbs Jones, citing irregularities to try to challenge Bush's victory. So in the year 2005, a congresswoman by the name of Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Ohio stood up and challenged the results of the election in writing, and a senator from California named Barbara Boxer, who's on CNN all the time now as a contributor, she said, I'm in. What happened after that? The move forced the House and the Senate to retreat to their chambers and deliberate. Both bodies were controlled by Republicans, and they rejected the challenge. 2 hours later, they came out. Bush was declared the winner. Literally, it says 2 hours in the statute. In the law, it says they have to debate for 2 hours. Isn't that amazing? But you had both chambers controlled by Republicans. Another similar challenge occurred in 1969, but it was over one electoral vote and it didn't really matter all that much. But here's the problem. Republicans control the Senate. Democrats control the House. So what if the chambers disagree? If every hypothetical scenario tips Trump's way, and the Senate upholds a challenge to certain slates of presidential electors, it would almost certainly put the chamber at odds with the Democrat-run House, where there'll be little drama about certifying Biden's victory. In that case now, lawmakers would step into a void of untested constitutional theories. At first blush, federal law grants the power to resolve such disputes to the governor of the state in question. But legal scholars and the Congressional Research Service have pointed to some ambiguities. In fact, nobody really knows. This 1887 Act, the Electoral Count Act, says that in this scenario, it's up to the state's governor to decide which electors should be counted. So that's going to help Biden in Pennsylvania. Tom Wolf would decide Biden's electors get seated. In Wisconsin, Gretchen Whitmer, obviously, or Michigan, I mean, she would seat her Michiganders for Biden. Wisconsin, Democrat governor, right? But the Constitution, as written, expressly grants state legislatures the authority to determine the process for appointing presidential electors. In other words, the dispute would be, no, it's not the governor. It is the state legislature that would seat the electors at that moment. This is also what the Trump campaign is telling legislative bodies as they go around the country doing all this. So they had a they've had a number of hearings in Pennsylvania, Arizona. They're going around Michigan, and they're giving lawmakers like a whole big briefing on election fraud claims, right? And as part of that, what they're doing, I don't need to come out and just regurgitate what Hannity had on last night in terms of what whistleblowers are saying. If you need to hear it twice, just go rewatch it on your DVR. You know what they said, right? You know the allegations. I'm giving you another very fascinating, I think, wrinkle in the whole play here, which is this. You could basically now have a gigantic Supreme Court battle over who gets to decide who seats the electors if the election is contested in the House and the Senate in January. And it all comes down again to Pennsylvania, because Secretary of State Kathy Buchver, the Pennsylvania Secretary of State, emphasized in a brief submitted to the United States Supreme Court that the legislature does not get to seat the electors. It's the governor who would get to seat the electors, not the legislative body. The Trump campaign disagrees, and legal scholars disagree. They literally disagree. So some say no in that scenario. So this is how it would play out. Ready? And this is the big story brought to you by Burlington. Burlington stores are open. Go see them. Great deals, great discounts. Burlington stores, amazing deals. Great stuff for the holidays too, by the way. Burlington stores, love the deals. This is how it would play out, according to, again, Politico. Not Breitbart, not Newsmax, not One American News, Politico. Very, very mainstream writers writing this article, by the way. This is not a kooky thing. This is Kyle Chaney writing this. Kyle Chaney is one of the most well-regarded political writers in the country. Here's how this plays out. It's January 6th, 2021. Matt Gaetz of Florida stands up and says, "I rise to challenge the election results. I have it in writing. I believe this election is fraudulent. Is there a senator who will join me?" Theoretically, Senator Ted Cruz stands up and goes, "I join the esteemed congressman from Florida." Now, both chambers have to go into their separate chambers and debate for 2 hours. House comes back, we've decided Biden's the winner. Senate comes back, Republicans in control say we've decided Trump is the winner. Wow. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Is that not the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life, by the way? I mean, honestly, you could have told me a story about how unicorns were going to rush into the Capitol and save the day for everybody. I would have said that that was less crazy than this scenario. And yet, it's entirely realistic. Imagine that, huh? Could you guys imagine that if that happened? What would occur in this country? I mean, just think about what that would mean in our country, right? If this were to happen.
It's crazy.
1887 law. And once again, they tried it in 2000. Play that clip again of Maxine Waters, by the way, from when the House had to certify the results back then. Just so you know, I'm not crazy. Politico's not crazy. This is actually the law. It's what they tried to do in 2017. They were unsuccessful. I think the difference this time is you probably would have a senator join with a congressman. But once again,
is the objection in writing and signed not only by the member of the House of Representatives, but also by a senator?
Mr. President, the objection is in writing, signed by a member of the House of Representatives, but not yet by a member of the United States
Senate. That case, the objection cannot be entertained.
I wish to ask, is there one United States senator who will join me in this letter of objection?
There is no debate. There is no debate.
Mr. President, I object to the votes from the state of Wisconsin, which were not should not be legally certified.
No debate.
Or
does the gentlelady, does she? please come to order?
A written document.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Absolutely amazing, that scenario that could occur. So I guess the question is, you know that somebody in the House is going to challenge. Will a senator challenge? That is the $64,000 question, I guess, or 538 election question. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. So, yeah, how's that? How do you like them apples, huh?
Anything could happen, though, because it's this crazy year.
Because we're living in the parallel universe,
yes.
Yeah. You know, those challenges in the past that didn't mean anything. Now you could have a challenge a day. Starting January 6th, the way this plays out is you could have a challenge every day. Every day, challenge, 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 challenge. Now, the big question is, the Constitution says the president has to be sworn in on January 20th. So if it's not decided by January 20th, what happens?
Oh.
I become president.
Rich Cioli.
I become president. No, you know who becomes president if that happens?
Wouldn't it be... Can I say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Wouldn't it be Pelosi?
Yeah,
it would. The Speaker of the House?
You're exactly right. It would be, yeah. Isn't that crazy? That would be awesome. This whole thing, I'm telling you, is the Vampiric One's plan. She started with a bat and vampiric blood and then pangolins. And now, this is how she's going to ascend to power in January of 2021.
This
is how she can become president.
When she writes her memoirs, it's going to be titled, My Bat Plan All Along.
Yeah, it's like OJ, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the name of her book. She's the one who got the virus out there in the first place, made this kooky year, and then ultimately orchestrated this whole challenge. And then she becomes president in January of 2021. And then the world officially ends. At that moment, like the dark sun, you know what I mean? Like
yes.
The sun goes black and it ends. People just go, the hell with it. I'm out. I can't.
Remember,
I can't even at that point.
Remember in 2012 when everyone was freaking out about the Mayans, like the end of the calendar, the end of the
yeah.
world? Maybe they were just 8 years late. Maybe they were just 8 years too early.
Does that mean we get another John Cusack movie out of it?
Yes.
He was in that crappy End of the World movie, wasn't he?
Yeah.
2012, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to make our list of the best 64 movies, by the way. I'm sorry, Dawn, yes?
No, you're not going to make fun of John Cusack, are you now?
Why, you like John Cusack?
Yes, say anything. He has some good movies from back in the day.
He had some good movies. Like, Springsteen might have had good records in the 1970s.
Here we go. Here
not
we
the
go.
Same thing. No, I would. Better Off Dead was a great movie. We all agree on that, right?
Yes.
Better movie. Off Dead. Say anything. I'll even go High Fidelity.
High Fidelity, I think, was a great movie. Yeah. Underrated. By
Runaway Jury underrated. Was a good movie.
No, it wasn't.
With Gene Hackman, that was a good movie.
It wasn't a good movie. Nobody thinks that. Does anybody think that?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Well played, Don.
Nobody thinks that. Come on.
If you think it is, 855.
Yeah, if you'd like to defend Runaway Jury with John Cusack and Gene Hackman, 855-839-1210. No, we are going to do a movie bracket challenge soon. I want to say the date, but I can't say the date yet because it's part of the gag. But we got to come up with the original 64 best movies of all time. Will there be a John Cusack movie in the mix?
100%.
Really? Which one?
Say anything? Better Off Dead.
All right.
Yeah, Say Anything, I think, is... I mean, that's one of the... I mean, if we're doing 64, that's definitely one of the best, right?
Well, I want to start kind of compiling the list, you know, because before you know it, the brackets are going to be unveiled. So Greg put together a list of the 100 best movies of all time. I immediately reject it. Because Chinatown with Jack Nicholson is number 55. Your lists suck. Can I just tell you that?
No.
You have the worst lists in the world.
First of all, these are not my compilations. I send them to you because I just want to show you how terrible they are. They have nothing to do with my compilations. I have nothing to do with these. Thank you.
Well, I'm just saying that you find these lists and they're awful. Chinatown,
yes.
Number 55, way higher than that.
I'm just trying to show that, I mean, if we're lifting the curtain, I was just trying to make the bit go because, hey, look, all of these lists are terrible. Our list is better. But, yeah, I guess that didn't happen.
Oh, I see. All right. You're right. Greg, great job finding that crappy list so that we could say our list is so much better.
Thank you very much.
No, I like it. That's good. Actually, I really, really like that. That's very, very good. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in on any of this stuff. I know these things are crazy, but we're living in crazy times. And nothing, I mean, would you put anything past Donald Trump at this point? Would you put anything past the Republicans? Would you put anything past? I mean, nothing. Everything is on the table in these, what, unprecedented times we're living in, I guess. So there you go. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I can't really predict. Yes, Greg.
Did you look at the number one movie on this list? Or did you just look at 55?
I told you I rejected the list after 55.
He went. Through, he was fine 100 through 55, and then that
and then
was...
I threw the list away. No, no. What was the number one movie? Go ahead.
The Godfather.
Godfather. Yeah.
Godfather one. I mean, it's debatable, right? I mean, is that the greatest movie of all time?
Number two. Well, we're going to debate it. I definitely think we will. But there's a lot of people that think Godfather 2 would be the best movie of all time.
I'm a Godfather 2 guy.
Casablanca number 3.
I you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I told Susie last week when she did her movie challenge to the Zioli Army, which kind of actually spurred the idea. Casablanca was way too high on her list. Casablanca is just a perfect movie. It really is. It's outstanding. And by the way, it's the single most quoted movie of all time. Did you know that? If you think about how many times you've heard the expression "of all the gin joints," or "play it again," right?
Yeah.
That's Casablanca. Again. How many different movies do you hear those terms thrown in there? Right?
I think in our movie list, this is going to be controversial, but I think in our movie list, we should set a year limit. Because like 1931, I mean, who's watching these movies? Nobody's watching these movies.
Oh, I disagree. My buddy Hal from both the Ireland trip, Italy trip, and Alaska trip would disagree with you. He's an old movie aficionado. There's some great movies back then.
And I think 72 is recent.
72? What are you, nuts? That's because you... let me show you something. This is Stocker's bias, because in his mind, every perfect movie was made between the year 1980 and 1989.
True.
Like, I think number one for Greg has to be Rocky IV. Like, that's going to be his number one movie.
It's not my number one movie.
Greg's entire list is going to be the 100 best movies of the 80s. That's going to be his whole list.
Yeah.
Number six on this list, Pulp Fiction. Discuss.
No, not in the top 10. No friggin'. It's a great movie, but it's not the top 10, Dawn, is it?
It could possibly be the
really?
Top
10.
It's not even my... That's Pulp Fiction, I love it. It's not my personal favorite of his...
Citizen Kane, number 9. I mean, like, 1941, really? We're
Citizen
going back
Kane
to that?
Citizen Kane is the most overrated movie in history. It really is. It's overrated. I think that movie should not even be on the list.
Rosebud.
It's so overrated, that friggin' movie with that Orson Welles.
No.
Rosebud.
It's a show of respect.
Rosebud. I don't want to respect who? Who am I respecting with that on my list, huh?
Just, it's groundbreaking.
How about any Whoopi Goldberg movies? Is she on
Sister
the list?
Sister Act.
Yeah, put Sister Act on the list.
Ghost.
Which
she kissed to me.
Ghost, really? Patrick Swayze, and I mean, I love him. He's, Roadhouse maybe should be on there.
Roadhouse.
Yes.
Okay, Roadhouse.
Point Break.
My husband
Break
and I watched that like the other night. It's hysterical to
Roadhouse
watch that.
Roadhouse is great.
It is a great, but it's a guy movie.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a total
and
guy
what's
movie.
The, and your point is what?
No,
now?
I loved it, which shows something about me, but I'm just saying every guy loves that movie. It's like a test.
Is that going to be in the 64 Roadhouse?
By the way, who's
deciding
The big ragu is calling me out here.
Uh-oh.
He says, I'm 100% wrong on Casablanca. He says, Caddyshack is far and away the most quoted movie of all time, followed by The Godfather. No way. I'm telling you, if you watch movies, in those movies, they constantly quote. For example, the other night, I got drunk and watched Ocean's 11. Because there's no other reason to watch Ocean's 11, but you got drunk. No, I'm kidding. It was just on, and I was watching it for a few minutes. And in Ocean's 11, they actually, Andy Garcia uses the line to George Clooney, of all the gin joints in all the world. If you look at The Usual Suspects, where does the line, The Usual Suspects, come from? round up the usual suspects, Casablanca. I'm telling you, the most quoted movie in movies of all time, Casablanca. They have used that phrase over and over and over and over again. By the way, some of those movies that might make the list might include Christmas movies, like my favorite Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And I want to tell you about something we're going to do. We're going to do a toy drive, all right? And as soon as I find the copy for it, I'm going to read it to you. What?
He said it to you last night.
I know you did. Hang on. I know. I had it, and then I lost it. Hang on. Here we go. I'm going to read this. This is very important because truly, and this is serious, it's hard to be in the hospital, as you know. If you're a child, it's very tough. During Christmas, it's tough. So what we want to do is we want to create a healthy dose of holiday magic. We're going to do the WPHT toy drive benefiting the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And we'd like you to join us by visiting 1210WPHT.com. It's our website. Let's go to 1210WPHT.com/events. Help make a child's wish come true. Brought to you by Fulton Bank. It's not just banking, it's personal. So we're going to put a link on this in social media. It will be amazing if we can get some toys for these kids in the hospitals. That would be fantastic and really be wonderful to help them. So please be generous and think about what it's like to be a little kid at Christmas, you know, in the hospital. It's tough, right? So 1210WPHT.com/events, and we'll post links and we'll talk more about it, but please, that would be great. That would be fantastic, all right? 855-839-1210 is our number. And what?
According to the entertainment.com, the most quoted movie of all time, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
That's BS. That's,
well, I don't buy that.
Your research skills in this area. I mean, look, I'll give you your cut sheet, phenomenal. Perfection every day. The show sheet, when I read it, I'm always amazed by how great it is. Your research skills in movies, I don't understand. It's like having Patrick do the research. What are you looking at? Wow. Listen, we're doing an hour of nonstop talk. Easy Homes PA. A lot of people want to get out, you know, just get out and be done and get out of this area. I get it. But have you ever had a moment where you thought you were about to close on a house and then what happens? They pull the rug out from under you. Something goes wrong. Well, with EasyHomesPA.com, you never have to worry about that because Easy Homes will make sure that your home is sold for cash as is. That's right. No repairs. No strangers walking through your house with open houses. None of that. EasyHomesPA.com. They take all of the craziness out of selling a house. You just get cash and you're on your way. Now, maybe you got tenants you don't want to deal with. Well, Easy Homes PA will take care of that too. They will absolutely get you out of the home at a fair price. And it's not like it's going to be where you think you're closing in a day and you find out that the buyers didn't, their mortgage didn't come through, or, you know, they lost their job and now they can't close on the house because they don't have a mortgage. No. EasyHomesPA.com will buy your home as is. No realtor fees, no escrow fees, no repairs. Just call them today. 215-608-6005, 215-608-6005, or EasyHomesPA.com, EasyHomesPA.com. Make home selling a no-brainer, 215-608-6005, or EasyHomesPA.com.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk, The Rich Cioli Show, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Associates Law Studios.
All right. If you want to weigh in today on any of the matters of the day, 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. And I also want to share with you, I mentioned Whoopi Goldberg. She said something crazy. I know, shocking, right? Very, very shocking. But we'll talk about that as well. And I want to thank, there's great comments on social media, by the way, about the movies we're discussing right now. Amazing. You know, I talk about all these deep issues, and what fires everybody up on social media is which movie is the best. Yes. It's great. It really is amazing. And I want to thank our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo for that social media check-in. They're open right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter. They're open every day and 0% financing for all of you, each and every one of you, 0% financing on all their 2020 and 2021 models. Steve is in Oxford. Yes, Steve.
Hey, Rich, what do you think about Gone with the Wind? Especially the one line, frankly, stalker, I don't give a damn.
Very good. Well done, sir. Well done.
Very nice.
I can't top that. That's good. Jake is in Bucks County. Jake, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So usually I'd rather you talk politics, but the movies does get people talking. And
it does,
for me,
it does.
It's 12 Angry Men. It's from 1957. I don't remember this. I had to look it up as I was calling. But it's about a whole jury. It feels like today you're in a jury scene and it's one person standing up to actually care about it and talk about the truth. And that's what it looks like today, watching the election. There's a couple people standing up against the rest of everyone else yelling at them.
Was that Gregory Peck in 12 Angry Men?
Henry Fonda.
Henry Fonda.
I don't know. I Googled
it.
I don't
know.
It
was.
No,
it was good, though. That's good.
I just
that's
love the movie.
One. Yeah, that's why you can't do a year to limit things on that. Jake, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much.
It's number two on the list that I sent you last night, by the way. 12 Angry Men is number two as the greatest.
Like I said, I opted out of 55, so there you go. So Whoopi Goldberg's a lunatic actress. She has her prediction for 2024. This is what she predicted on ABC's The View, where Trump will be in 2024. He won't be running because of this. Cut number eight.
Well, I think it's very exciting that, you know, he can pardon himself federally, but there are all these people waiting. Letitia James is waiting with her little foot. She is patting that foot, waiting for him to make a step out, because he keeps saying he's going to run in 2024. You're not going to run if you're in jail, my friend. And that is something you must also think of. I'm just saying. We'll be right back.
These people are salivating at the prospect of Donald Trump going to prison. This is America? Come on! But no, the woman she mentioned is the prosecutor for the state of New York, Letitia James, the attorney general who actually ran on a platform of finding President Trump in jail. You know, a lot of people hate Hollywood because of the actors. I just ignore it. What I do is I just look at movies. I just ignore the actors. But I noticed that one of the people that you mentioned on the cut sheet, Greg, you didn't get to earlier, but an actress, comedian named Sarah Silverman.
This is. I was waiting for this because this is by far and away my favorite cut of the day. She was on a podcast with, it's called The Smartless Podcast. It's with Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes from Will and Grace. So she, you know, yesterday we played the clip of James Corden basically ripping the mask off and just showing why late night comedy feels like they're virtuous by making fun of the Trump administration. Sarah Silverman admits that remember, she did blackface, and what they're talking about here now is that she did a joke on her show in 2007. It's a pretty offensive AIDS joke where she's talking about going to Haiti and getting AIDS because, you know, everybody in Haiti has AIDS, according to Sarah Silverman. She claims that she got away with it because she's liberal, and people, you know, they know she doesn't really mean it. So this is, we've always said this, but this is just fascinating that she finally admitted this on this podcast.
Greg, I've compared it to the cool kids table. If you're at the cool kids table, you're allowed to say anything you want.
Yes.
The stuff that I would lose my job over, they get a pass on it.
Jimmy Kimmel.
So she is admitting this, you're saying.
Yes. Jimmy Kimmel, Howard Stern, Sarah Silverman, because they are, like you said, at the cool kids table, people kind of like look the other way when they literally do blackface.
Those three names you gave me again, can you say them again?
Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman, Howard Stern.
Blackface, blackface, blackface.
Yes.
They each wore blackface.
Yes.
And they're fine. They're fine today because they're at the cool kids table.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Cut one.
That's such a funny bit, and it's such a... That scene was, again, I don't know, I think people might be offended today. I don't know.
There are a lot of problematic things looking back, but, you know, such is comedy. It's not evergreen.
Right. So that's my thing is, like, you've always been such a, I don't know, such a stupid word, edgy, but, you know, cutting
it. Good for
like,
you, Sean.
Thank you, thank you.
You're getting prayer hands. Yep, go ahead.
Prayer hands. That, what is it? It's always about the messenger of the joke. It's never really about the, so you can say, like, on the Sarah Silverman program, you could do a joke about AIDS like that, and people embrace it and laugh because it's you saying it. So what do you think is the difference between you saying it and somebody else saying it and not getting away with it? It seems like you get away with a lot of stuff because you're so funny, but some of it's pretty dark.
I think it's the intention behind it. Like, this is a math term, but it's kind of like the absolute power of the joke. Like, especially back then, I always said the opposite of what I thought, you know, and that was the joke kind of. And then hopefully the truth transcends that I don't really feel this way, not to break it down in the least funny possible way. But it is also interesting, too, because like that comedy I did, you're right. It was like, oh, it's OK, because, you know, I don't mean it. But then it also is kind of like, we're liberal, so we can say anything. So we could say, you know, the words that are unsayable or whatever. Like, you know, I don't mean it, so I could say it. Like, there is kind of like a liberal, like, douchiness about it, I think, in retrospect. I mean, I don't know. It's a weird balance.
It's amazing that they're allowed, and she's openly saying what we've all known, which is they can get away with it.
Yes.
Get away with it.
I was stunned by this. I mean, because it's something that we've literally...
By the way, I think you should have beeped that D word there, by the way.
Why?
I don't know. What do you think, Dawn?
Yeah.
Probably should beep the D word there. I mean, it's a good word. I use it all the time, but I don't know if it's like...
Yeah.
It's not, kind of word fine. You probably want to...
Children
maybe
listening.
Would you say it at work? Would you say it?
No. Children maybe listening.
Well, and the children. Yeah, that's probably true. But I mean, it's true. It works in the context. But she's right. I mean, if you're liberal, you get a pass. I would get fired. I can't stand that double standard, by the way. That drives me crazy.
Agreed. Yeah, it's something that we've always joked about and said, but to hear her actually say it is just, you know, because we were poo-pooed, you know, that's not true. You know, they were taken to task for, or the best thing is that they can look back on it and say, well, I probably shouldn't have done that joke. Like, if you're somehow absolved of it if you come to a reckoning later in life that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have worn blackface, you know?
Yeah.
In 2007, like, was blackface appropriate then? Like, or, like, in Howard Stern's case, in 1994, was blackface appropriate then? I don't know. I don't think it was.
It's why Ralph Northam survived as governor of Virginia.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I was moonwalking and doing Michael Jackson, I say, and so, but I'm liberal. Give me a pass. But in terms of comedians, I mean, yeah, it's true. It's the double standard is, I mean, what did Roseanne say? And she lost her career over it, right?
Yeah.
She tweeted. She drunk tweeted.
She tweeted about Valerie Jarrett and she lost her entire career. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, and this is what I think makes people angry is that double standard. If everybody was dealt fairly and consistently, but I know that there's a higher bar on me than there would be if I were a liberal. If I were a liberal talk show host, the crap that I could get away with...
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what I could get away with. The stuff that I can't say because I know that there's no tolerance for it, it's night and day.
I just wish there was a uniform rule for it. You know what I mean? Like we're either... I hate cancel culture, so I don't think any of these people should be canceled. Let me just get that off the... But, like, there needs to be... Like, if we're going to cancel one person, then we should hold everybody to that standard then, right? Because it's...
Right. Either
it's
cancel everybody or cancel nobody.
Nobody, yeah.
Right? It's either everybody or nobody, but we don't operate that way in this country. Well, at least she's honest. You know, good for her for being honest, at least. 855-839-1210. Listen... Delaware Valley Sports Center stands for freedom, and I want you to think about that because a lot of people think about what the future is going to be like with our Second Amendment rights. They want you to get trained so you know how to properly defend yourself and your family. That's what they do at Delaware Valley Sports Center. They also have an amazing selection of new and previously owned firearms and ammunition and that sort of thing, but their classes are amazing. They do the very popular concealed carry classes. NRA certified instructors, Bob Dulay, Naraya Andrasik. The classes will focus on making sure that you are ready to use a firearm safely. Delaware Valley Sports Center offers individual, family, and group instruction, and they can customize the training to fit your needs. In addition, the Delaware Valley Security Center runs the very popular Act 235 classes for security guards and HR 218. So go to Delaware Valley Sports Center for training, firearms, equipment, or to answer any questions you may have. They are the experts. They have been there a long, long time, and they can help you. So go to DelawareValleySportsCenter.com to learn more. DelawareValleySportsCenter.com. You can't miss.
60 minutes of nonstop talk. This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Some great tweets, by the way, on movies. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Sit on with you. Outlaw Josie Wales, one of the best movies ever made. It's a underrated movie, in my opinion. No doubt about it. Dawn, good morning. How are you today? What's cooking?
And good morning. I'm doing great. Zioli Show News. We are at 38 degrees right now. So this is a story I'll call The Roommate from Hell. A former Lehigh University chemistry major admits he poisoned his roommate's food and drink, even his mouthwash, with a toxic, deadly metal substance called thallium. His name is Yukai Yang, pleaded guilty in court to attempted murder. The victim, Juan Royal, suffering weight loss, headaches, and nausea, among other things. Investigators say Yang had scrawled some racial slurs on Royal's belongings. So Royal is African-American. Yang is not a U.S. citizen. His student visa now revoked. He faces deportation and looks like he'll go back to China. But the victim's family says he still suffers with neurological damage from that poison. It's just a horrible story. Huge vaccine news, and this is really news that gives great hope to so many of us. Pfizer getting permission for emergency use of its COVID-19 vaccine in the UK and Britain. Zioli talked a lot about this today. The world's first COVID-19 shot backed by rigorous science, a major step toward eventually ending the pandemic. And for America, a government panel voting that, yes, healthcare workers as well as nursing home residents will be among the 24 million Americans who they say should be at the front of the line when the first coronavirus vaccine shots become available. Looks like that could be as early as less than 2 weeks from now. A Delaware hospital is reportedly playing a leading role in administering the vaccine to the region. 10 freezers just arrived at ChristianaCare in Newark this week, and we'll be able to house the coronavirus vaccine in temperatures as low as 94 degrees.
By the way, you think they got the service plan on those refrigerators? Because, you know, they break down a lot.
Oh, they get
I never know when I buy a fridge if I should get that. Like Lowe's, like my buddy is the manager of Lowe's, you know, and I always ask him, I go, Andy, should I really get the,
yes,
you know, the thing?
You should always get
thing?
That.
He always says get that. So yeah. I wonder if they got that. Wouldn't that be a bummer, too, if, like, after all this, the friggin' freezer breaks and they go, well, you don't have the service plan. Or they have the same company that I had with the other washer and dryer that I purchased that wasn't from Lowe's. And they're like, oh, we can get to you in 2 weeks. Imagine that. You call them up. Yeah, sorry, we can't get a tech out to the freezer in 2 weeks. Why? Because COVID. I have the freaking vaccine in the freezer. Get somebody here now. Sorry.
The CDC adjusting its quarantine guidelines of 14 days instead. Looks like the CDC will say you can resume normal activities after 10 days if you came into contact with somebody with COVID, or just 7 days if you test negative. And that brings us to Governor Phil Murphy says, take the call from contract tracers, New Jersey. 70% of people, Murphy says, refuse to talk to COVID-19 contract tracers. Jersey Shore stars Snooki and Dina are getting dragged into a legal battle. This is a real food fight, but it's apparently over copyright infringement over their meatball merchandise. So the meatball shop filed a lawsuit saying Snooki and Dina are stealing their trademarks and they got to pay.
Really?
Yes. So they say that they call each other meatballs. They wear the T-shirts and
they look like
sweatshirts.
Meatballs.
They look like meat. So they got to pay up.
Yeah.
And finally, and this is my segment called Defending Bruce Springsteen. You're like defending Sarah Silverman.
You want to go there? You really want to go there? Okay.
A New Jersey native making history.
Remember, I get the last word.
I know.
Just remember that.
I'm on thin ice.
No. You are on very thick ice, but I always get the last word. So I'm just saying, if you want to go down this road.
Billboard magazine, he debuted at number 2 on the Billboard chart.
Who did?
Bruce Springsteen, letter to you.
Letter to you, debate at number 2. Got
made it. Number right. 2. Right. Couldn't resist.
Well, then allow me to quote some lyrics. Oh, come take my hand. We're riding out tonight without a mask. COVID is a killer in the sun. So put on your mask and we can make it if we run. Oh. All right. That's from Sid. Sid wrote those lyrics. Thank you, Sid. Actually, well, we got some great lyrics yesterday from Springsteen. Just destroying songs in the name of COVID. I wasn't going to do it today, but now you brought it up, you know. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. But there's some really good entrees. So, yes.
Let's get to the NBC 10 First Alert forecast real quick. 38 degrees right now. Wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Blustery. A high of 47. It'll never feel like 47. Wind chills in the 30s. But tomorrow, mostly sunny. We warm up to 52 degrees. I'm Dawn. That's it for now for Zeola Show News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210 is the number. By the way, United States students are falling behind in math amid COVID-19 school closures. Shocking. New York Post writing this. A disproportionately large number of poor and minority students were not in schools for assessments this fall, complicating efforts to measure the pandemic's effects on some of the most vulnerable students. A non-for-profit company that administers standardized testing said on Tuesday, assessments showed elementary and middle school students have fallen measurably behind in math. While most appear to be progressing at a normal pace in reading, the math is where they're hurting. 4.4 million U.S. students in grades 3 through 8. The first significant measure of the pandemic's impacts on learning, the kids are getting dumber. They're going to be like me when it comes to math soon if we don't get these kids back in the classroom. Measures indicated students are advancing in math, but not as rapidly as in a typical year. The findings confirm expectations that students are losing ground during the pandemic, but show those losses are not as great as projections made in the spring. Oh, give me a break. This is Black, Hispanic, American Indian, and students in schools serving largely low-income families fared worse, but they say the pandemic hasn't widened the achievement gaps. Give me a break. Everybody knows these kids need to be learning right now. Everybody knows that. No doubt about it. Come on. Give me a break. San Jose mayor, put this in my segment called Hypocritical Democrat Politicians During COVID. San Jose mayor visits parents for Thanksgiving in apparent disregard of coronavirus warnings.
Oh, no.
Yeah, San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo, the conservative bastion of San Jose, California, reportedly visited his elderly parents for Thanksgiving in an apparent disregard of his own holiday travel warnings. He said in a statement that he and his wife have dined outdoors and while wearing masks with a total of 8 people in 5 households. I understand the state regulations that limit the number of households at private gatherings to 3. I apologize for my decision to gather contrary to state rules. I understand my obligation as a public official. Blah, 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 blah. Translation, hey, screw you, I'm the mayor of San Jose. I can do whatever I want.
I just sent you another one, by the way. It just came across the news desk.
Oh, really? The Zeoli Show News Desk?
Yes, the Zeoli Show News Desk. This just came in from the San Francisco Chronicle. It was posted overnight.
Oh, thank you for this, Greg. No, I appreciate this. No, San Francisco Mayor London Breed, Republican?
Yes. No, she's not.
Had her own French laundry party the night of Gavin Newsom's French laundry party. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah. San Francisco, Gavin Newsom, they're all...
The conservative bastion of San Francisco, those MAGA hat-wearing deniers. Dawn, in San Francisco, you know.
Yeah.
Stay woke!
That's right. Had her own French laundry party. Ah, look at her. The day after Gavin Newsom went, huh?
Yeah, Everybody going to the French laundry. I mean, like, what are these people, you know, like, French laundry is an expensive restaurant. What are we paying these people?
Yeah,
not us.
All these woke liberals going to like the most expensive restaurants in defiance of all these COVID rules. What is up with this? This is amazing to me.
How do these elected officials pay for this? Is this expense?
That's a great question, right?
Great question.
Because the government
that's a really
workers,
great question.
They didn't take a pay cut, but I guess they expense it.
And in the category of freedom, do you have the freedom from Braveheart?
Oh, freedom!
Well, don't tell that to the owner of a New York City tavern, the owner of Max Public House in Staten Island, who was arrested along with his co-owner. Why? Because COVID, because they decided to stay open. So the state of New York and, of course, the city of New York would not tolerate that. They came down, locked the tavern owner up at 7:15 p.m. He's now facing fines as much as $10,000 a day, according to reports about this. So they came down and locked him up. Five city sheriff's officers showed up. I hope the line that they used, that he used, did you think you brought enough guys?
Yes.
Just a great line from Usual Suspects. Think you brought enough guys? So the mayor of New York turned around and said, round up the usual suspects, and they went to Staten Island, where Mac was just trying to keep his bar and restaurant open. Wasn't charging anybody, by the way. He was just taking donations. Was giving out free food and drinks, but they locked them up anyway because freedom. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Listen, Cherry Hill Vavo, they're open on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, and they're there ready to serve you with 0% interest on all 2020 and 2021 models. That's right. You know, they're great friends of mine, and I really love the service that they give. I love how responsive they are, and I love the buying experience of Cherry Hill Vavo, and I love driving Vavos. They're great cars. You know, they have a plant in South Carolina where they build their S-Class. They're all made in the United States of America. And Cherry Hill Vavo is a local dealership. About 60-something people, all local people, great people. And they're there to make you very happy. So please go visit them. Minutes over the bridge on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Judith Krupnik has been there with me from day one. And you are going to love what they do for you. Free complimentary loaners where your vehicle's in for maintenance or service. So many benefits. And if you're a Costco member, you're going to get an additional $1,250 off any new SUV. That's right. So 0% financing, plus the $1,250 off, plus the complimentary loaners, and there's valet service available for a safe, reliable, luxurious car with my friends at Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.